Our reading this morning comes from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Katie. Please be seated. You know, it's just good to be with you this morning and on this, you know, post-Christian or post-Christmas Sunday. And Doc, I love you standing up there because it is great. This is a Doc Knock right there. That's Will's grandpa. So, but I just also, the reality that we have many people who are with us online. And you know, Mary Lou, you were saying, you know, you look familiar, Gary. I see you online on Sundays when you're up there. But on Christmas Eve, I realized as my son, who lives in Sun River, Oregon, he and his wife and two kids sent a snapshot of the screen of the worship service, knowing they were joining us as well. So no, we're part of something that God's doing bigger, and you know, some people can't be with us for whatever reason. Could be health issues, could be a number of reasons, but they're with us right now. And so that's wonderful. You know, when you see a passage of scripture, sometimes it brings a memory. Maybe it's something that God used to kind of draw you to himself. And that scripture just kind of gets embedded in your heart. And the last 10 words of this scripture that Katie just read are embedded in my heart. And let me tell you why. The scripture is, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." On Deb and I's 35th anniversary, the Bottoms offered their cabin up in Grand Lake. And so Deb and I went up and to have a weekend together and to celebrate our anniversary. It was in 2010. And so we went golfing, we hiked up to the falls, we just walked around downtown. We just had a great time just celebrating the fact that, you know, we have had this journey together for 35 years at that time. I remember as we were getting ready to go out for our dinner, you know, our anniversary dinner, we stopped because there was a moose near the road. And if you've been to Grand Lake, you know, they're majestic and powerful and everybody wants to stop and look at a moose. And I remember having that experience. And then we had a wonderful dinner and came home and early the next morning, because the cell service was a little sketchy there at the cabin, my phone had blown up with messages, text messages, phone messages. You see that the night before, while we were having dinner, one of our baseball families, you remember this, Jason, the Bean family, Jordan Bean had just graduated from high school. He had headed off to, was getting ready to go off to college, but they had just won a state championship, and they were in the Nationals down in Texas. So when he and his family went there, and they were playing in the games. And after the games, they went to the Texas Rangers game. Why not take in a professional game? And so they did that. And they're driving home late at night, and, you know, after the game, and we're near Wichita Falls. A drunken driver went on the freeway the opposite direction and plowed into their Humvee. And the whole family was killed. And so my phone, especially from Zane Knapp, you remember, was on staff with us, his best friend. They're all reaching out saying, "Coach, Gary, what do we do?" And you're just in this state. And so this scripture, the reason it's meaningful is this. We Deb and I packed up. We headed back home. And I dropped Deb off at the house. And then I went down to the baseball field. And there were hundreds of players and coaches and parents just beside themselves because this whole family was wiped out. Rob and Lisa, Jordan and Morgan, who was just going to be a sophomore in high school, was gone. So people are grieving one with another, and somebody said to me, Gary, do you think Pepsi would host the service? And so on August 9th in 2010, we met in this room, right, Jace? It was filled with players from past and present. It was filled with coaches. It was filled with administrators and family members and people from Aero Electronics, where Rob had worked, and the whole community, and we had this service. I knew Jordan. Jordan was an outstanding young man. He was pretty quiet, really good baseball player, but a quiet leader, very respected. But I remember going to his Facebook site. I just went back to it this week, and it's, you know, still a lot of those memories and people coming on, and it said the scripture was at the bottom. I am with you always to the end of the age. It gave us fuel to speak about the faith of this quiet young man whose life was taken that quickly. And so when I was asked, you know, last month to speak on this passage, I go, whoa, this is what came to my mind, because it was so powerful. We, you know, the community got together. I remember going over to their house in Pradera, and of course no one's living there, and they, you know, were selling the things that were there, and we started working together, and we have a field at Ponderosa High School called the Bean Field, and for years we're a coach, and we always ask the players to come through there and remember, because Morgan's softball number and Jordan's baseball number are embedded in that site. You never know. You're just coming back from a baseball game. You're going on the freeway. Everybody's sleeping. Next thing you know, they're gone. And so, you know, it just is something that has really tenderized me as I thought about it. Then all of a sudden, I just realized how tender I am this week. I've been this myriad of emotions, up and down and all around. It's all about that. 2 weeks ago, Terry, to pray with you before your beloved wife was ushered into glory. That week, I went to California to see my mom and visit my brother for a couple of days, and as I was there, Dan sent the message that, you know, your beloved Barbara had passed away. At the same time, I'm watching my mom, who's failing in health, and realizing my brother and I are going to have to make some decisions this next year to walk alongside, and what is that going to look like? While I'm there, I get a call from Darlene Bernelli, and Darlene says, Paul is not doing well. They're going to take her off chemo treatments, probably put her in hospice. And I've been going to Paula's house every first Sunday of the month to give her and David communion, and she's so hopeful that she can be healed. And maybe she's going to be healed in heaven, but not this side of heaven. You know, I get back, and all of a sudden I find myself having a cold, and so I'm getting ready to get ready for today and for the whole week, and I got to go take a COVID test to make sure I'm not spreading it. My brother got sick, and he has it. So he's, you know, stuck in his room all through Christmas time. And then Monday morning, my beloved friend here, John, calls me and says, Gary, a real good friend of our family, dear friend of Riley Scott, coming back from vacation, Kevin Waltoniski, who I've only met once, had a stroke and is in a Tulsa hospital. Do you know anybody that can go visit him? And fortunately, Doug had a guy that's in an EPC church, and Aaron went right over there to visit and pray with the family, and because we're part of something bigger. And Kevin went home to be with the Lord on Wednesday, leaving his family in Tulsa as they were traveling back to Colorado, and still coming this way. You know, it just tenderizes you when you hear that. On Tuesday, I spoke with Pastor Eddie Hartwell from St. James Baptist in Gulfport, Mississippi. For, you know, during Katrina, we made about 7 trips down there to come alongside of St. James and to do a lot of work, and a lot of you here remember. And Pastor Eddie and I call every once in a while, get caught up, and he says, Gary, I wanted to let you know that our dear friend Mary Reynolds passed away. Mary was this woman who cooked some incredible meals for us and was a sweet lady. And I called her last year because I heard she wasn't feeling good. And she said, Sugar, so good to hear from you. And she had this little place called the Gumbo House. And we'd go eat over there at Gumbo House. And I remember my son volunteered to go wash dishes in the back with her grandkids. She called him Snowflake. And so if he's blonde hair, blue eyes, Colin is. And so, you know, just, and Pastor Eddie said, I just want to let you know. I said, I bet it was a glorious celebration because this lady just gave. You know, she had a, in her house, we went and helped work on her house. She did hair when she wasn't cooking meals. She sent home sweet potato pies home for me to take, to bring home to Debbie. Those were so good. She was just an amazing lady who just gave and gave. And the pastor says, well, you know, Gary, I said, how'd she die? He said, I think renal failure. He said, she just wore out, Gary. She was 82 years old. She was giving all the time, and she wore out. She didn't rust out. She wore out. And she wore out good. And she pointed a lot of people with her cooking and with her hospitality to Jesus. Donna Bauer sends Doug and I a message that her dad went to the hospital and is probably not coming out and is in his last few days. Get a call that our brother Jim Chinchill, who was just prayed for by Will, and all of a sudden he has a seizure and he's in the hospital, and you know, with his sodium. And you know, Jim, he's still making brisket for everybody for Christmas and making all kinds of stuff, but and here he is in the hospital, and he's going, I wanted to be at Christmas Eve so bad, but he's still at the hospital. Or David Vole, who, same way, I went and visited him, and his kids came in from out of town, but he fell down the stairs and cracked ribs and was significantly hurt, and he's just weeping that he had missed Christmas with his kids. You know what I mean? And then I get word last, you know, on Christmas Eve that Caroline, you know, is in labor, and then find out she has a beautiful son. It's Cody Miller, right? Colson. So you see what I'm saying? I'm in this space where I'm going, go home and spend time with my family and grandkids and Christmas and celebration and great food. But yet, you know, here's the beauty of it all. God is with us. He's Emmanuel. Nothing surprises him. He is with us. And that's the whole thing, I think, just to be mindful. We don't know what tomorrow brings, what today brings even, but we do know He's with us. So let me just pray. Father, thank You that You are with us. What a week. Gosh, just kind of my emotions have been up, down, all around, but yet, knowing the steadfast love of my Father in heaven, knowing that You sent Your Son, Emmanuel, over 2,000 years ago, and You are with us today. Nothing surprises You. You're there to comfort us. You're there for us to lean on, to cry to laugh with, to pour out our hearts. And Lord, I pray this morning, the message You've put on my heart, that we would take serious this call that You've given to each and every one of us. I know it's kind of prodded me in some good ways. I pray that we'll do the same for each and every one of us here. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, we've been talking about the nativity all through Advent, and you've kind of got it to, you know, start off with availability of Mary, and here's a woman, a teenage woman who is, you know, just trying to be, you know, living life and thinking about getting married at a young age, and all of a sudden she's, you know, the angel comes to her and says, you are going to be carrying the Messiah, and will be conceived by the Holy Spirit, or the humility of the nativity that was talked about with Joseph being humbled by the fact that, wait a minute, mysteriously, yeah, my engaged wife is pregnant. I know what that's going on. And of course the angel appears and says, no, God has impregnated her. Not, don't you worry, be faithful, humble yourself. And he did. And I don't know if you, Doug gave us that prayer, the litany of humility. Gosh, I've read it several times a week, and it just kind of gets me to the core. I pray that you would just lean into that, to take on the humility of Joseph on this time. Then the simplicity of the shepherds. I watched The Chosen, and they have a little deal on the shepherds, and it's a great scene if you get a chance to watch it, because the shepherd is just, you know, it's the lowest of the low. Yet God used the lowest. He used any of us to be a part of His message. the simplicity of that, or the generosity that Will spoke to us last week about with his poem and with his preaching about what it means, because we have a God who loves us so much it gave his only begotten Son. So we can't outgive God. So be generous. We're so thankful for the generosity of our church, and we go, but we know that that's because God is doing something in you. You can't outgive God. But you need to do it as an act of worship, and we're so thankful. And then, of course, Doug knocked it out the other night, just talking about Emmanuel, the deity of Christ. You know, God sent his Son to enter into our mess, and he's with us each and every day. And so now I get to talk to you about the responsibility of the nativity. You hear of two things. You hear of the great commandment. The great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love one another as you love yourself. That's what we're called, to obey the commandments. When the Pharisees were trying to nail Jesus down, this is what you need to do. Love God, love others. It's just keep it simple and do it. And the Great Commission is what we're going to read right now. And let's start in the first couple of verses. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. Some scholars think it's the same place that he preached the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, but it's in the mountain region. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So Dwayne, I told you I was going to have a little word for you. Dwayne's my dear brother, and we talk a lot about doubt and wonder what doubt's all about. Well, this word in the Greek is diazo. And diazo means real hesitation rather than unbelief. And I think there's a lot of us in here who hesitate. It's not that when God says something, we hesitate because we're just not quite sure. We're kind of wondering, you know, is it fear? Is it we're kind of analytical, Dwayne? Or is it because we're too cautious? Sometimes that can hold us back from experiencing the fullness of knowing and following God. What I love, I'm picking on Dwayne, we're in a men's group together. Dwayne is always asking, I want to know him more, but I doubt. And I love his honesty, because Dwayne, I believe watching what God's doing in you is nothing short of miraculous. And I just thank you for your journey that I get to walk alongside of you. This week, when I was in California a couple of days, I was driving in my brother's car, and I was listening to a preacher on the radio, and he said something, and it hit me. I've heard it before, but he said, the purpose for us is to know God and to make him known. Really, it's just simple. Love God, love others. Know God and make him known. I mean, it's not like we have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. It's just know God and make him known. And I just thought, you know, yes, that's what it's all about. Verse 18, it says this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He assured them of his power. It's his power. Not my power, not your power, it's his power. And when we have that power, we can do anything. We don't need to even worry. He has the power that raised Jesus from the dead. He has the power to take people that are sick and make them well. He is the Almighty. And he has given that power to you and to me. I don't get it, but I have it. And so part of it is, you know, do we really believe that? And do you allow that to heal you, to transform you, to forgive you? He has the power to do that. And when we acknowledge that, there's nothing we can't do if he's calling us to do it. And I think that's just part of stepping up. And then it says in 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He gave us a commission. Now, a commission, we have, you know, the Presbyterians are real good about having a lot of, we've got this thing called the Book of Order. And everything we do has kind of, you know, a reason for doing things. And if you don't figure it out, you go to the book order and it kind of gives you directions. It's one of my favorite books, not. But we have committees. And committees talk about, okay, we're going to have a committee to talk about certain things. But then we have a commission. And a commission is given the ability to do the things they've been directed to do. It's like you have a commission is go do it. And this is our commission. Our commission is to do what God has called us to do. He has commanded us to go. You know, if the commander-in-chief says we're going to war, our armed services buckle up and they go everything they've got ready for and they go to war. Whether they really got it, you know, they're all excited, whatever, they go because the commander-in-chief says go. If a head football coach or a head coach says, you lay it all out on the field, you put it all out there and get a W. If you are any kind of player, you said, I'm going to follow coach's call. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to lay it out there. It's a command to go. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. So he has given us a commission to go and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why our service up on the hillside this summer, and that's why in here we had Debbie and Jackie and Brad get baptized, and they were identified with Jesus. They said, no longer to the old life and to the new life. I'm going to go and follow Jesus. I'm going to put him first. And I'm identified with this body of believers called the covenant community. That's what baptism is about. It's powerful. But it's interesting. I'm going to baptize you not in the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that's the big difference there? We have a triune God. Some people baptize in one name, a different name, and a different name. And they're not synchronized with being one one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so when you look at this, you go, wow, that's amazing. We're to be what he's called us to be. You know, Jesus laid it all out for his disciples in those 3 years. And they observed his miraculous power, his unwavering love. They took him serious. And now he's saying, go. Go, not just to the Jews, but to all nations and baptize them. And so I just, it's one of those few places in Scripture, the Trinity is never mentioned in the Scriptures. But it's identified, this is one of the key places. And then if you go back into Matthew 3, 16 and 17, where Jesus was baptized, you remember when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove and was on him. And the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. The voice from heaven came. That's another place where the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit are together. It's so important. So it's so vital, family, that when God says go, don't say no. And you go, well, how do I know if God's saying go? He'll tell you in his word. He'll use people in your life who encourage you, who will reaffirm that. And they'll support you. And the message will be clear. I remember when Deb and I were in ministry for a while. We had two children. We found out our wife was pregnant with Colin. And I got a call and somebody had said, hey, would you be willing to go to Europe to work with the military in Germany? Right before them, we were working in a garden and my wife said, hey, do you feel like God's preparing us for a change? And we were in this little town in the Central Coast in Morro Bay, California, doing ministry, coaching football, doing a bunch of things, were going good. And all of a sudden, God's going, Gary, I got something for you. And I was really struggling with it because I thought, wait, things are going good here. But God made it very clear, because I was a military kid and because I became a Christian in Young Life and was on Youth for Christ staff and it was a joint venture of the two ministries, and I lived in Germany as a kid and all this stuff, raised Catholic and you're working with the Catholic chaplains and Protestant chaplains, that I finally, God had to hit me over the head and I said, yes, God, we'll go. My wife said, well, I've been waiting for you. He already told me And so I was just waiting for you, but you know, you're just kind of a little slower. And so we went. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that call. I'm not saying what I was doing in California was great, but God, our 2 years became 9 years. The things that we did and experienced, and it was beyond belief because God said go, and I didn't say no. I wanted to. I tried. But he did that. And then it says here, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, these words, these last 10 words, I am with you always to the end of the age. He promised them his presence. God is with us. God will equip us. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You are never alone. You know, sometimes we think he has abandoned us, but he never has. He's there. He's walking with us till we get it, until we want to understand what it's all about. This is our responsibility, church. This is our opportunity. What Will said is, it's really a mandate. Go. Go. Go serve. Go tell the people. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything I've told you. I will be with you. And the 11 went and they transformed the world. And the world's being transformed today by you and me. If we will go. It's so important that we take that serious. Some of us are just kind of hesitating. And I'm just saying, we need a little, that right, Dwayne? It's just a little kind of kick. It's just a little nudge. In the name of Jesus, let's get going. And some of us really need to do that. You know, I know for me, God is saying, Gary, I want you to know me more, and I want more to know me through you. I want to be better known. Maybe for you, it's really looking at, okay, I got to get in the Word. I don't even read it now. Maybe just start reading it. Or maybe it's reading it more than you had before. Maybe it's getting into the Bible in a year. Maybe it's just getting into a Bible study or a home fellowship or having a mentoring relationship, but having someone who holds you accountable to do that. Maybe it's repenting of the life you've been living that is not a reflection of what God wants. He can't use you if you're doing stuff that isn't an alignment with him. You know, he's going to give you everything you need, but you got to say, here I am. And you need to let go of some of the stuff that's holding you back. Maybe it's discovering and using the gifts that Will talked about. We need you. We need your gifts. This church cannot be what it needs to be unless you are serving using your gifts. I have certain gifts. I'm going to use them. You have certain gifts, Anna Marie. You have certain gifts, Griff. Tom, you have certain gifts. We all have gifts. When we use them, everybody wins. It's amazing. But if we sit back, we don't find ourselves experiencing what it means. Maybe it's to go on a mission trip. Dan would love to have you go, whether it's to Africa or Puerto Rico or to New Orleans. I talked to somebody Sunday. Mark goes, hey, I think we're going to Cambodia. You didn't know that yet, did you, Dan? But maybe it's Cambodia with Seton Lee. You know, maybe it's considering. Maybe God's directing you to take a different path in your life, in your career. Maybe saying, you know what, you've been running for me. You need to come follow me. I've got plans for you. I want you to start this ministry. I want you to go to seminary. I want you to go in the... I don't know. But when he says go, follow him. Because he has great things in store for you. When I had my conversation with Pastor Eddie, he said this. I said, how best is it for me to pray for him and St. James? He says, you know, we've been meeting in the parking lot for the last 2 years. We're pray that we can get inside the first of the year. He goes, the good news, if you know Pastor Eddie, he says, our sound system goes for about 8 blocks. So everybody's hearing about Jesus. And if you know Pastor Eddie, he's preaching it. And he said, hey, we'll do that. And I said, hey, you know, you got Christmas Eve coming up. He goes, Gary, Christmas Eve is every day. He says, it's every day. The world is worse than I've ever seen it in my whole life. And he's been through it. And he says, man, Christmas Eve is every day. It's not the deal. I read, a friend of mine sent me this little article, and it's about Christmas in a box. Now, I don't know about you, but we have a lot of boxes that come out at Christmas time. You know, you got the storage unit, you got it up in the shed, you bring out your lights, you bring out your ornaments, you got all those boxes. My wife's very organized, so we have really organized boxes. And so we have all those boxes. You know what I'm talking about? Now they're getting ready, you're going, okay, now we got to put the boxes back and, you know, take things down. We'll let them up a little long. And I think, see, here's the deal. We cannot put Jesus in a box. We can't put Christmas in a box. We celebrate it like no other, the birth of Jesus. We got to celebrate it each and every day. And I thought it was interesting in this article that my friend wrote, the last paragraph is this: when Christmas has concluded and the celebrations have stilled, when the songs have fallen silent and the parties have ceased, leave Christmas out of the box that can't be put away. Let it be what nothing else can be. Let it rescue you, your family, your children, your marriage, your community, and your world. And I don't believe that any of us want to put any box, anything that has the power to do that. Let's not put Jesus in a box. Let's not put Christmas in a box. It has got to be living each and every day. Amen?
Amen.
I read this, and I'll conclude with this, and I'll ask the worship team if they'll come up. But this footnote was in my Bible. I'm kind of a little hesitant to share it with you, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. It says this: if we refuse to serve the king faithfully, we are disloyal subjects, fit only to be banished from the kingdom. Now, that just sounds harsh. But, you know, I think we have to take it serious that God has called us to something greater and something more important. We must make Jesus king of our life and worship him as our Savior, our King, and our Lord. Follow the Great Commandment and commit to the Great Commission. Follow the Great Commandment, love God, love others, and commit to the Great Commission. If God says go, please don't say no. If he's speaking to you, man, follow his lead. We have staff, we have elders, we have anybody to talk with you about that. We love to talk about what is God doing in you and wants to do in you in the days ahead. Our world is in desperate need of Jesus. I can't go through a week like I did this week, the ups and downs, unless I know Emmanuel is with me. I mean, okay, Lord. I mean, John, I just go, okay, Lord, you got this. I don't. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you made it very clear. Your last words on this earth in your physical body was to tell us to go and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all these things and reminding us that you are with us wherever we go until the end of the age. Father, I miss Jordan and his family, but I know they're in your presence. And I know many, because of their lives and their testimony, that service that was here 12 years ago or 11 years ago, pointed people the direction of who you are. You don't waste anything, even those tragic losses. May you be glorified. May we take our faith seriously. May we just kind of not just plod along, but we just get in the game and go for it. We go for the win. We go for telling somebody that needs Jesus about the hope that they can have in the Son of God, the gift of Christmas. Give us your strength, your boldness, and your courage as we enter into this new year. May you be glorified. May you be magnified. And may we be drawn into that. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.